Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Okay, it says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it says
absolutely.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. A little cold, thankfully.
Sound a little bit off base today. I want to say hello to all our friends out there. Remember, this is our radio show. Not Phil, not mine, our radio show. We got a lot of directions to travel tonight.
Yeah.
A lot of directions. Plus, this weekend, you and I are splitting up again, and next weekend we're splitting up. We're going to do something together this weekend. Then we
actually,
split up.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to have the Cal Diego PVA ride.
That's right.
Which is going to leave, I can't tell, disclose the destinations, but there's five destinations. And then
you can say the first one, though.
Well, it starts at your shop. Everybody takes
off. We know
off
that one, 10. Yeah. We know that
yeah,
one.
Everybody yeah, everybody takes off at 10.
The rest is a poker run, so it's kind of.
Well,
you know,
we're not supposed to say that, though.
That's true. It's a donation run. We can't talk about poker stuff. What are you doing?
No, it's nothing.
No.
The blinds, the sun's coming in.
But, you know, we're doing that for the Transportation Department of the VA Hospital of Paralyzed Veterans, and we encourage everybody to come down. If you live out of the area, which, of course, many of our different states and different countries do, we encourage you to be in the local VA hospital. Walk inside, spend a few minutes, visit some of our brave men and women that are in the wheelchairs or in the hospital for the rest of their life. Many of them, say, from the Vietnam era, never married. Now their parents are dead. They have no family at all. What does it take, 5-10 minutes? You guys stop on by, you drive by the VA hospital, walk inside and say hello. Hey, I'm from Texas. Where are you from? Oklahoma? Hey, no shit. Whatever they talk about.
Exactly.
And, of course, any girls from any strip clubs across America, you're more than welcome to stop at a local VA hospital. You know, that'd be the Christian thing to
do.
Yeah.
That's correct. And then, also, next Tuesday, Rusty's album drops. They have very good reviews.
Oh, no, I did not hear about that. You're more into the Social Butterfly program than I am.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Appreciate
well,
that.
It is what it is, you know.
You got me doing all the representation.
You got the pretty boy face, so what the hell, you know.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me today if I had a perfect face for radio.
That's Bill's job, huh?
Yeah, Paul asked me today. I started laughing. And then,
now, Paul's got something coming up, too, doesn't he?
They got next Saturday, well... We're going to wait till they call in.
All right, then we'll talk about that.
Then we got, what I'm going to tell you about here is this Teen Project Harley raffle to support the PAD in Venice, California.
What the hell is the PAD? I don't know about the PAD.
The PAD, okay, it's a teen project. And this is Nikki Gilbert. She's the volunteer with the Teen Project's the PAD in Venice. She wanted to thank us for your consideration in posting a link to our raffle of a 1997 Harley Davidson, especially wanted to be sure that the necessary information, links, etc., and I'm attaching all the information below, but if there are problems or if you have any questions, please contact me. It's Nikki. So it's basically, I'm going to put that in there. It's a raffle. I'll show you a picture of it, Bill, as soon as I put it in. Oh, yeah, Art gets big hugs. You and I just get a smiley waving hand.
Yeah, you know, but he's got clout.
Yeah.
He got clout.
So what it is...
Hey, it's a spaghetti Harley.
There you go.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, and tickets are $10. I put the link in there. And supposedly this thing's all redone. They had
I'm
it
looking
in.
At that. That's pretty good quality.
That's
yeah.
That's a side door to Glenda Harley Davidson.
If when I said spaghetti Harley, if somebody out there didn't understand what I'm referring to, was for a while Harley Davidson made some of their smaller motorcycles in Italy.
Right.
And during that time frame, Clint Eastwood had so many of those Italian westerns. I mean, they're calling them spaghetti westerns. And then when Harley came out with these smaller bikes, we hence called them spaghetti motorcycles.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then we got some people. After I do this one, there's two things I wanted to do, Bill. We got Nora on the line. We got Stacy on the line.
Hey, Stacy.
SWAT on the line. Let me get through these two
I
items.
I want to talk to SWAT later.
Well, I will, but let me get through these two items. Well, Bill, you know, today I was telling you about this, and
You know what? That just pissed me off. I gotta tell you. Let me talk about this. Do you mind?
Because if you want to read that,
Social Security now called Federal Benefit Payment Entitlement. Your Social Security check is now referred to as a federal benefit payment. It is actually our earned retired income benefit payment. It's not a benefit. It's been money taken from me and my employers, if I ever had an employer. It's been taken from me. Not only did we all contribute to Social Security, but our employers did also. Well, I guess I did have an employer. I was in the military one time, so that was my employer. It totaled 15% of our income before taxes. If you average $30,000 per year over your working life, that's close to $180,000 you've invested in Social Security fund. Or is that Social Security fraud? I'm not sure. If you calculate the future value of your monthly investment in Social Security, $375 a month, including both amounts from you and your employers at a meager 1% interest rate compounded monthly, after 40 years of working, you'd have less than $1.3 million saved. This is your personal invested money.
Right.
Upon retirement, if you took out only 3%, you'd receive $39,318 per year or $3,277 a month. That's almost three times more than today's average Social Security benefit of $1,230 per month. According to Social Security Administration, we got that from Google, by the way.
Uh-huh. If you want, you can Google it.
I'm not making this stuff up.
They're all facts. We don't go without checking the facts first.
Your retirement fund would last more than 33 years until you're 98 if you retire at 65. Now, I'm 63. But then I ain't going to make 98. My body's too broken up. I can only imagine how much better most average income
people... Are you sure you're not living in purgatory right now?
I've had a hard life. My body's broke up bad. I can only imagine how much better the average income people could live in retirement if our government had just invested our money in a low-risk interest-earning account. Yet the federal government saved billions.
They do that now. Don't they call that bonds?
Bonds, my ass. The federal government sends billions around the world as foreign aid. Let's give some more money to North Korea. Every now and then I just feel the need. Give them more money. More money.
We just paid for their honeymoon over there.
And we're not invited to go. No Americans are allowed to go.
No, it's fucked up.
I'm kind of glad we screwed up their flag. At the Olympics, we put the wrong flag up for the North Koreans. That's good. Now, where were you? You moved me around like that. Instead, the crooks in Washington on our payroll, they pulled off a bigger Ponzi scheme than Bernie Madoff ever did. They took our money and used it elsewhere. They forgot it is, it's not our money. It's my goddamn money. They stole it. They did not have referendum to ask us if we wanted to lend it or give the money away. No, I thought I was paying because I thought I was going to get it back. They did not pay interest on the debt. And recently they told us that money will not support us for very much longer. I've been paying you schmucks for 40 years. There's no much more money.
I've been paying them for 40 years, too.
Is it my fault they misused my investment money?
I earned all my quarters 10 years ago.
Yeah. And you can't get any more,
No, just to let everybody know that it's in the chat room or on the phone. As soon as we finish this, I'm going to go to some callers.
Yeah, this is just real quick. It's been bugging me. I'm going to get this off my chest here. To add insult to injury, they're now calling our money a benefit. A benefit. As if we never worked to earn each penny of it.
Like the small business Obama said, you didn't start it.
Just because they borrowed the money doesn't mean our investments are a charity. We got to take a stand here, folks. We've earned our right to Social Security and Medicare. demand that our legislator bring some sense into the government. Find a way to keep Social Security and Medicare going, at least for Bill Kennedy's sake, and for the sake of that 92% of our population who needs it. Here's a novel idea. Let me go back to North Korea. Reduce foreign aid. The hell with foreign aid. Let me think about this. Help our own people, help foreign aid. Help foreign countries, help our own. I got a basic program.
Okay.
Let's take care of Americans, okay, boys
got,
and girls?
Yeah, we just got an instant message from Nora.
She doing North Korea?
No, she had to go pick up some dog poop, so I'm gonna mute her.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll put you back in the story. There you go.
All right, blah, blah, blah. I don't know where I am now.
Benefit, just because.
Okay, right here. Reduce foreign aid. Yeah, let's eliminate foreign aid. Do not reduce foreign aid, limit foreign aid. I don't care. I don't care about another rocket ship going to the moon. I don't care about helping foreign countries. I don't care. I think we need to help Americans first. There should not be a woman anywhere in this country of ours with a child on the street. Not a woman with a child on the street. They should be able to walk into some type of a home or something at night and say, I have nothing, I need some security, I need some safety. They should be someplace where they say, come on in, welcome to Serenity, right? Welcome to the sanctuary, whatever semantics we want to use.
Welcome to Bill's house.
Welcome to Bill's house, come on in, you know, anyway. Anyway, so they're talking about to take the balance to begin paying back Social Security, our retirement income. Anybody that knows about this here, anybody that's interested about this here, please share this information. Boys and girls,
in the chat room.
You jump on board. I don't get into too much of the political stuff here, but I look around. Philip and I are hardworking schmucks. We're going to be okay. But it only takes one accident or one illness, they say, to knock the average person out.
Right.
You know, you've got a family. Anything could happen to you, God forbid.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. I got to play this song real quick.
Okay.
I get to check out a few things, then we'll go right to the callers after.
Yeah, no more political talk from Bill.
Never had one of those days when nothing goes right. Your wife starts bitching about whatever it was she was bitching about last night. So you escape into the bathroom just to sit there on your throne. But after you finish your business, the toilet paper's gone. Well, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cock if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. Well, I was running late for work, so I poured me some coffee to go. And just before I had a flat tire, spilled it all over my clothes. When the highway patrolman pulled up, I thought the help was on the way. But when he saw the tattoo in my hand, he shot me with pepper spray. Oh, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cock if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day, I'm saying they don't do this, for me to whoop somebody. When I finally made it to work, I was 15 minutes late. I told my boss about the flat tire, but he fired me anyway. So here I am out in the parking lot, just waiting by his car, man. I'm gonna give him a goodbye present that he never will forget. I'm saying again, great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day
Actually at a stop sign right on the state line because there's a little bit of a curvature thing before you go back and forth and you have to stop. And I was stopped there with two cars in front of me and I just zoomed in on it because I was traveling from A to B. I was like, oh, I got to send this picture. So that was that. Can I add some input to what you guys were just saying?
Please.
On the Social Security.
Yes.
We're going to go to
the LA calendar show.
Okay. I had touched base with that a little bit last week when Phil began to talk about it. And I'm going to assume, Bill, that you could probably relate to this on some level. My grandmother's in her 90s, and I explained that to everybody. And she began working in the mills when she was like 13, 14 years old. And, you know, some of my family is very politically into politics, and it happened to be my grandmother and my aunt and that generation. They came from a family of 14. And they were, you know, so very proud to sit and tell us growing up, you know, we saw the 40-hour work week come into play. We saw unions, you know, become established. And, you know, they told us how wonderful, you know, it was to have a Social Security benefit that would take care of us upon retirement, that, you know, our government was set up in such a way that it looked out for all its people. And, you know, my aunt has passed. My grandmother, God bless her, is still here with us. And to be raised with such strong political sense, my aunt's uncle fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was over there in Germany. You know, he came back an injured veteran. He had gotten some gunshot through the top of his leg. But my aunt also did work behind the scenes, those working veteran women that did a lot of metal and steel work.
Rosie the Riveter, right?
Right, before the soldiers, et cetera. It was a family type of unity. I was raised with a very nice family. But it's sad because to hear these stories growing up, my family, you know, endured the hardships of working 80 hours a week until 40 hours came into play. They went to work before the age of 16. And I could go on and on. And to have the federal government say that this is a benefit, it is a smack in everybody's face that pays taxes, that has worked hard all their life. Because correct me if I'm wrong, if you are given money, and let's say through a bank loan, whatever, and you choose not to pay it back, you're penalized in several different ways. And how, you know, the government can take our money and freely invest with foreign aid and several different other things and then tell us you know, the money just might not be there. How can they get away with that? How can they do such things? And it's just another thing to kick the hardworking people of America in their butts, or, you know, a truly disabled person that might actually really need those benefits. And it's, you know, in my eyes, it's a sad day that, you know, some of the things that, you know, my grandparents and family worked and shed their blood, sweat, and tears for these things to come into play are going to be no more. And that's really all I had to say on that.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that, because I've pretty much been ignoring it, because I've never used my VA, I've never used the government, I've never gone on unemployment. I ain't done a damn thing. But I'm figuring, when if I hit 65, if there's any money left, I might go for a little bit in there. But I don't know if there's going to be anything left when I'm 65.
No.
Philip and I are hardworking schmucks. We're going to be okay. It doesn't matter. But some of our good friends, they're crippled up from their work.
Yeah.
Some of our friends have had their hands broken so many times that they lack the skills, the motor skills and all that. Some of our friends got bad legs, bad heart. You and I have been pretty happy that we're okay financially, and we're damn lucky you and I got our health.
Yeah.
You can say a lot of bad things about us. We got our health, though. We do have it. Yeah.
Got it.
Compared to all of our friends out there, Philip and I are lucky we have our health.
And you know, when you were talking about the foreign aid and stuff, it's just ridiculous that we have so much money pouring out of the country, and we've got homeless within our country, you know, up to the highest I think they've seen in a long time. And, you know, I mean, just to touch base with some of the, you know, Native Americans that live out in different, you know, destinations throughout the United States that are in poverty type of conditions. And, it shouldn't be that way. And I agree with, you know, how about taking some of that money and putting it back into the, you know, the country where it belongs, and getting some people back up on their feet. And, you know, the more people you get back up on their feet, the more ideas come together, and the more businesses and different things can begin to prosper and grow. And it's just sad, and I'm sure it just makes a lot of people, you know, angry.
See, I'm confused with the issue of socialism. I'm confused because I'm against the idea, but I'm also thinking that anybody in America that has a raging toothache should be able to walk into a dentist's office and have the tooth taken care of. Anybody that's in a car accident, not their fault, a car accident, I'm just making a scenario up here, they shouldn't have $1 million worth of medical bills when they cannot pay them off. They didn't do anything, they're involved in a car accident. At some point, the government has to step in and say, these bills are out of proportion. I know when the AIDS first came out, they were priced so high, and the government had to finally realize, yes, we've got to bring it down and try to save these people's lives. One trip to the hospital, boys and girls, you can kiss everything you have, everything you saved up, gone. It's just not right. I don't know. I don't have any answer, and I try not to talk about stuff unless I have an answer or suggestion. I'm just venting, I guess. I appreciate everybody's patience letting me vent tonight. I'll shut up now.
Mm-hmm. So where's the other females? They were supposed to say hello.
Nora from Chicago. Hello. Good evening
to
all. Hope everyone had a great day. In regards to the Social Security, I jumped in kind of late, so what were you guys talking about?
I'm just moaning and whining. I don't know what's going to be left when I get up there and I may have to claim it. I don't like the way the government's handled the money that they've had over the years of Social Security. I don't like the money that's going overseas to other countries. I don't really have a great agenda. I guess, again, I almost apologize because I'm just whining. I'm venting. I'm not happy to see the future. Philip and I, we're going to be okay. What about my grandkids? I don't know what future I have for my grandchildren. I just don't see it. You've heard me say this before. I love this country. This government, though, getting on my nerves. Anybody jump in, please.
Well, let's put it this way. By the time our kids and their kids, there's not going to be anything there. it's going to be amazing enough if they're, when it's your turn, because of the mismanagement that they've had with the money all throughout the years, with their frivolous spending, or, well, it's not going to be there by the time the baby boomers get to, you know, where they're able to receive their money, you know, that they worked hard, that the government's supposed to hold on to. That's your stash, so to say, your comfort pillow to have when you reach the age for retirement. Unfortunately, it may not be there. And once, you know, what do? You're not going to know until when you get there.
Mm.
You know, and they used to have it at the age of 63, 64, back in the day. And they keep raising it. So what are they going to do by the time, are they going to change it? And you got to be 70 years old before you can claim it? Come on. How much longer does the government want you to work to the bone, you know, and then all of a sudden, oh, we don't have your money.
You know, we have, everything has been whining and apathetic and all that, and I don't know if people are showing up. I don't know if people are doing to make any changes, but let me flip the script just a little bit, because we actually got SWAT on the line, and SWAT and some of her friends, they did something about trying to make a change in America, small start and all that. SWAT, are you out there? Can you share us what happened last weekend, please?
Hi, everybody. Hello. It was amazing, and, you know, people came from, Phil was there, Fran was there. It was just an amazing, I'm still blown away by, you know, the outpouring of support and the people that came out. We had, you know, all the way from Sacramento to San Diego, you know, people came out from all over the place. And it was great to watch everybody, you know, patch holders and non-patch holders alike standing next to each other, and the enthusiasm. And it was so much fun. We were having a blast.
SWAT, now some people may not be familiar. Can you tell us what happened, where it happened, and why it happened, please?
Okay, so Sunday we had the event was the LA Calendar Motorcycle Show, and we were there not attending the event as spectators or vendors. We were there in protest. And then my understanding from a pretty good source, it was the first time bikers ever stood up against an event and actually had a physical protest that this person was aware of. They had not ever heard of that before. And they have spent quite a few years going all over the United States and documenting things. So we went there, and the reason why we were protesting, there were several reasons, but the main one was discriminating, you know, Jim Dynantis, is that how you pronounce his last name? The producer of the event decided to stop casting blame on the locations, which he's been doing over the last, you know, several years, blaming it on the locations, why he had a no-colors policy. And this year, finally, he couldn't hide behind that anymore, which relies in the past anyways, but he couldn't hide behind that anymore, and so he began to say very disparaging remarks against the biker community, calling people thieves and murderers and this, and just really saying some horrific things about the bikers and the biker community.
Well, here, let me interrupt you for a second. I want to read, yeah. There's this guy, Eddie. Well, actually, Tony said, worst bike show in the USA. Eddie writes, second that. This bike show was so bad, I didn't even know where to start. Plus, Jim the promoter blasted other events and promoted his as the premier event and being completely out of touch. The Burger Girls ran out of burgers with no attendance. They had a cupcake truck. Are you fucking kidding me? At a bike event?
Cupcake. No, I can't. I got diabetes, for Christ. They're trying to kill me.
Yeah. Nylon Pink Band was really not singing, more like for teeny boppers. The other two groups belonged in a Seattle coffee house, unplugged, acoustic, and the other was singing in Russian. People were falling asleep, literally, again, at a bike event. They stopped the dinos because they said the residents might complain. They stopped the dinos because there was nobody there with a bike to put on the fucking dino.
Hmm.
And then they had it at a country club community. He says they only saw two calendar girls and one was a cutter, and they didn't make their rounds. I spoke to the vendors, competitors, and some vendors who were comp just to bring out. Nobody bought anything. There was no press, magazines, as promised.
Phil, let me ask you
this. But we saw Art and a few other people
there. I'm not always up on these things. You said there was only two calendar girls and a cutter. I don't know what a cutter is exactly. Is that like a fluffer or something?
No, that was the cutter that was cutting the cupcakes for you.
Oh, okay, the cupcake cutter.
The two girls and then the
AFT. It was a question I wanted to know.
And the AFT girls. That was Sarah and her other friend.
Right.
One vendor was next to the main stage, had one best pro builder and the best bar hopper. How does one bike win in two different categories? Also, the pro builder was final decision by the promoter. The best of show got picked by the promoter, which was the same bike who got the best of show picked by FT Customs. The bike won two best of shows, one judge for the whole show. A Triumph won an award, but they called it a sports car. So many people complained they had to change cups. People were protesting outside because the admission price were a flop, stopping the tunnels, and some non-1% bike clubs could not be admitted. In closing, the show is so out of touch, it really needs to hang it up. I feel sorry for all the people who traveled to this. People, don't waste your money. Your local bike night or local bike show would have been better than this because they had more bikes outside than they had inside, Bill. And I'd like you to read the comment from this lady, if you would.
Okay, now, Fran out of San Diego. I got some more for a question for SWAT.
We'll go back to SWAT after this.
Fran out of San Diego, she went up there. She said she had a great time. She was one of those who said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. She doesn't have a patch, so to speak. Nor does she belong to a club, but she rides with many, and you say no, it'll be in your face. This is about rights and freedom. Oh, she doesn't belong to any club, but she supports the club, she's saying here, I believe. We ride bikes because of who we are. This is what makes us special people. Whether we ride in a group or loners, we ride by choice, not just to a bar and home. She rides 90%+ of the time on a motorcycle. Rides more times. Okay. She also found that she didn't ride the van too good either. She guesses if she drove more, she might be better. But no, down deep, she likes her bike. Now, a friend rides a metric motorcycle.
Right.
She's been a friend of mine for many years. That girl rides a motorcycle. This is a woman who rides a motorcycle. Don't anybody be stupid enough to say, oh, she's on a little Japanese bike. That girl will just smoke you. And you want to go for girls anywhere.
Well, you know, Art gave her a compliment, too.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah, you know what he said? She's great to have in the rear.
Oh, okay, well...
And then
what were they talking about?
She was riding the.
Okay, well, I want to clear this up.
Yeah,
I want to clear this up.
Okay.
Before I get back to SWAT, I want to.
And then Tony said, I thought the Long Beach were the worst the last 2 years. I was wrong. That's my last time. I just thought I'd give it one more try.
Tony, you're right. I was at the Long Beach show the past 2 years, and I wouldn't show up for this one. I was so. I just thought it was a waste. It was going downhill for years. SWAT, let me get back to you for a second. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. You guys were outside peacefully as American citizens protesting. Without saying the names, did you see any patch holders go into the event?
Yes.
You did. Okay. That is their right as American citizens to go in or not, as is your right to protest. It was just a question I had, whether or not they would cross the line. Okay.
I think some did just to see if they can get away with it. Nobody, let me just say that the event would not have been a flop had we not been out front. Thousands and thousands of dollars turned around and left. Okay, they would have had I think they would have had quite a nice little turnout.
Yeah, people, some even parked and got off, and we were making them signs, Bill.
Exactly. They came out and joined us. Vendors, some of them packed up and left in support of what we were doing. This thing had a tremendous impact on the outcome of that event. I mean, they really did have a great turnout. I mean, people were, you know, parking their cars and coming up, and, I mean, we were following the law. Our logistics were perfect, you know, and the police were right there the whole time. They came up. We had a little meeting with them. If we said, if we do anything wrong, let us know. We'll work with you. And so they were there. We weren't intimidating anybody. We just would give them the facts, tell me your, and I would say that you, I respect your decision, but make it with all the information. Let me tell you what's going on in there. And the same thing, everybody was so enthusiastic about telling people what was going on, and people stopped and listened. And one time, the security tells a large group of people, you guys can't block the driveway. And they're like, all right, fine. They came in, drove around the parking lot, and left. And I'm talking, then that group had about 30 people in it at least.
Yeah.
So what, how, I understand Bobby was up there trying to orchestrate a lot of that. Did you felt that he had good directions, good drive? Did you get a chance to talk to Bobby at all?
Well, yeah, Bobby, I haven't had a chance to talk to him since he's been home, because he just got home yesterday. So he spent some time out in the South Bay Area visiting friends. But, you know, between the two of us, I think it was, you know, he has great connections and everything. He, you know, it was, I think we worked real well together in that context. His, and you know, it was a great experience. It was, overall, just in every shape, you know, of the imagination, the people that came out, you know, Fran was a tiger. Oh my God. And I don't, she didn't stop. From the minute we got there, she parked the bike, and rah, she was all over it. No megaphone for her. Until the second we left, and she was one of the last people to leave. And she just didn't stop.
And you know, bro, even though the great venue was outside on the lawn, because that's where they provided us with a lot of shade to stand in.
SWAT, almost all these events are top-heavy male. Did you feel that, now they're like an undercurrent of women bike riders starting to get more involved in stuff, maybe? Or am I just projecting down the future and maybe it'll never happen? Do you think women might want to get involved?
Okay, my honest thing, my stance on that is I damn well hope so, because if women riders want, or bikers or riders, however they describe themselves, want respect in this community at the same level the men are, we better put as much work as the men have into our rights. Don't sit back on our asses and say, respect me because I ride. It takes a little bit more than that, sister. Get involved.
You have hit the nail on the head. I speak every now and then, and I've spoke, and I'll say something here. We have a president in the United States right now. I didn't vote for the man, but that doesn't matter because he's our president. We all have to get behind this man. We in the motorcycle community, we don't have a leader. We have got a lot of political organizations, and I'm not going to, you know, we know who they are. And they all, in my opinion, they seem to be fragmented. They seem to be stuck on ego and attitude. They don't seem to come together. I'm hoping somebody that hears me tonight, maybe somebody out there saying, maybe it's time for me, a man or a woman, maybe it's time for me to step up and represent the motorcycle community. Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Harley-Davidson, the motorcycle community. I have been looking and looking for one leader across this nation that we can identify with who cares about motorcycle rights. I just haven't found that person. Maybe tonight I may find it. If you think you know somebody, get them involved with what we're doing, boys and girls. It's our future.
Yeah. Hey, hold on one second. Before anybody says anything, Fran, I know you might be sitting there looking at other stuff while you're doing this, but sometimes I don't know when to... You had your computer swept or whatever. If you got a lot of stuff in there, it's gonna knock you in and out. Basically, what I would say is turn everything off, restart the computer, type in the one link, and leave it alone, and you should be okay.
You know, I wanted to also say a thank you to some of the other people. I mean, you know,
he
was like amazing. Guys from the clubs and stuff, they were amazing. But there were, you know, and Fran, like I said, Tiger, you know, Bobby, Phil, you know, you guys were all amazing. Then there was Summer. I mean, she's not really, you know, she's a rider, but she's on the hiatus because she had our baby with her, you know, and she was the one running the water and all the supplies and stuff. She was in her SUV so that we could ride. She didn't have to take care of any. She took care of all of that all day long, helped make signs. I mean, she's just been, you know, she was such a great help. And then, you know, I have other friend Jaime. He's got the GoPro footage. He was helping as well. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, there's people that pitched in that were real kind of behind the scenes, you know. And you know, and then there were the people, everybody, I can't remember every name in every club because I was just so overwhelmed that day. But that's my fault. I should have taken the time out and written down every club that was there, you know, to give proper thanks. But, and everyone's like looking at me, I was like, I didn't do anything. It was everybody there, the energy, the fun, the commitment that everyone had to come together and do this. It was astounding. And to think that we didn't have an impact, yeah, there was a huge impact, because I think really, truly, and honestly, the number of people that got turned away or that willingly turned away would have made a difference, would have been encouraging enough to Jim to continue on.
Let me ask you, and I want to give a good credit to it. Did any of the magazines speak to you? Quick Throttle, Thunder Press, Jeff Flames, Southern California Magazine. Did any of them come out and speak to you, or are they more staying inside with the vendors, if you don't mind my asking?
You know, I didn't even think to ask. It was just because I had so many people, they would park their bike and ask me questions, as do I think it happened to other people. I had a few, you know, or I didn't know what it came up. They just were like, why are you guys protesting? And I would just go into the talk. I don't even know if they were pressed or not. And that, again, you know, I just gave the same basic pat answers of like, you know, how much do you want to know? You know, you want to know everything, or you just want to know the basics? You know, and so I can't say, because no one identified themselves as pressed to me.
Okay. Now, because of the time constraints, I don't know if it'll be coming out in next month's issues. It may be in 2 months, but I'd be very much interested.
According, I saw Bart, I saw Art, I saw Kip, I saw, and
it's only 2 weeks away to press. I don't know if they'll be able to get it out.
Yeah, they should. It should.
Well, I don't know. So I said, I don't know for. But you seem to know everything, don't you, Mr. Know-It-All?
They said they'd have it.
You just know it all, don't you?
I asked them. They said they'd have it for next month's issues.
All right. Well, Philip said it's going to be out next month because he knows everything, boys and girls. It's a tough life I have down here. So, can I ask you a question that's going to deviate slightly from the norm?
Sure.
So Philip tells me that you do roller derby.
I am in training. Yes, I do, but not all the way yet. Right now, I know how to skate. I need to be able to pass the test, the derby skills test. And there's some requirements and some skills that I have to build, so I'm working with the team and on my own time to build those skills so I can pass the test so that, yes, I can become a derby girl.
The reason I'm asking that is I've had friends of mine in roller derby, and they develop a character. And they become so immersed in the character, sometimes I think I've lost my friend, and I have a new friend, a new character. That means that's telling me they're to stay in roller derby. Roller derby is not a fad. They're here to stay. Do you feel that strong about this here, that you want to let this become a major piece of the puzzle in your life, roller derby? And if so, why?
And Fran wants to come and take pictures.
I don't know if it's going to become a major component. I know that, because mind you, I'm 41 years old. And all the other girls are in their early 20s, you know, anywhere from 18 to 25. I have kids older than those girls. But as long as my hips hold out, you know, and I can keep up and, you know, everything's okay, I'm not going to heal as fast as they are. I don't know how many times I'm going to get knocked down before I go, okay, I'm good. You know, really, I'm okay, you know. But
I'm not an expert, but I got to tell you, some of the big damages, if I recall, are broken fingers. So that's one of the big issues.
Oh, I'm going to be mad. But
you've got to make sure you wear well-protected padded, because when you go down, the fingers go down backwards. And if I recall, friends of mine had always had a problem with their fingers. Again, I'm not an expert in the field at all, but I remember them always having splints and all kind of weird stuff. So going down protecting your butt's one thing, but think about your the fingers there.
The butt's well-protected.
Okay.
We wear wrist guards and all that other stuff. I mean, to me, my
passion... Like, how do you know about the fingers? Because I've had friends that broke their fingers. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There you go.
Thank you. I trust and believe. I appreciate all advice that I get, you know?
Yeah.
But my thing is right now is the bikers' rights and moving forward with that and getting more involved. And, you know, I talked to Mooney. That would be me. I'm Moody. He's Mooney. Well, you know, I talked to him a little bit, you know, and, you know, kind of just exploring my options, looking at every direction and deciding where I want to go from here.
I know I don't want you to rest on your laurels. I'm hoping that you're going to be...
Well, why? Is this you play with a Hardy or what?
No. Oh, God, I can't believe you went there. That was... I'm hoping that you'll be looking down the road is what's the next task you can take, and again, yeah. Put the word out and invite other motorcycle riders and urge women riders to participate in these events. What you said is so important because a man has one vote, a woman has one vote. There shouldn't be a difference in there. Women need to stop letting the men take the forefront. Women need to get up and say, this is my country, I'm an American citizen, I'm whoever I am. We need more people at these events. SWAT, I hope you can, and people like Fran. Fran's always talking about step up to the plate, don't be afraid. Fran has never, ever been uncomfortable with this. One man or 50 men in the room, Fran's going to speak her piece. I've not got a chance to meet you yet, SWAT, but I think you're about the same type of caliber.
Well, you know, Fran flipped off a guy because he was wagging his tongue at her.
Well, I could see Fran doing that.
He's like
he should have pulled his tongue out.
Oh, my God.
Starts flying
That's
on him. Flip me off. Who told me to get fucked? And Fran's got all coming. So Fran turned around, and Fran just, like, got that stance. And when he got right to her, she grabbed him and gave him a fucking bear hug. And then when he came back, he was like, oh. And I said, well, fuck with her. She'll kick your ass.
Well, Fran's well developed in the upper torso. Was she trying to suffocate him or what?
I don't know. You'd have to ask.
Everybody knows what I'm referring to being well developed in the upper torso, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, not all of us.
Fran's got enough for everybody.
Hey, I got a question. What kind of solid?
we'll go back there again. Fran gave SWAT her shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Good deal.
It was even a wet one.
Oh.
Anyway, SWAT, getting back into, is this, well, speaking of wet, is this kind of whet your appetite to look at this more political operations, more things you can look into, or is this isn't going to be just a one-trick pony, is it? You're coming out?
Definitely more and more. I have a couple ideas of where I want to go next. I'm actually going to take on Paris, RX Paris. And I don't know if you guys remember who he is. He was the one that shut down the Mongols for their annual.
No.
Who? Say his name again.
R Rex Paris, City of Lancaster, California.
Oh, okay. Well, they bought their, yeah, yeah, okay. That was just a legal thing. Yeah, okay, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, he has that ordinance out there that prohibits people from congregating. It's a big old thing. I have to send you guys
the papers. We follow that.
So...
if I can encourage you anything, it would be that if you can, and I don't want guests to be the sexist, but if you can encourage more women to come up and participate, I think that's the future right there. We have guys doing it. We always use more men, but there's a whole tray full of women that are available, and we're not getting involved. Some are saying, oh, let the guy do it, or the guys aren't going to pay attention to me. Every woman is a voter. Every man's a voter. We need to find more friends. We need to find more SWATs. We need you people to somehow come together, build up some type of communication in here so that when you show up, you're getting off your bike. Whatever bike you're getting off, or if you, because of an injury or something, you're getting out of your car, it doesn't matter. We should be listening to you, as I'm listening to you now, as a person speaking about motorcycle rights. I'm not care what bike you ride. I'm not care if you're a woman. What I'm caring about is that you're stepping up and doing something. I'm encouraging, I'm asking more women that are hearing me on this show right now, not only in the different states and different countries, try to reach this girl, SWAT. And we've got, how can we tie up with SWAT? Have we got her number or anything? SWAT, are we getting any email on you or anything at all?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good. Okay,
yes,
I just want people to know how to do
it. I got it. I'm not going to put it on a spot and put it out there. I got to look that
up. Well, you guys can figure it out there. I just want them to be. Just think about what I'm saying, SWAT, because people like you and Fran and all that, there is. It's the future, buddy.
Or if she wants to put it in the chat room, she
can. Yeah.
You know what? I'm on the phone, so I can't really get in. I'm logged in the chat room, but if you guys can see, I'm trying to get ready to go somewhere. So there's makeup all over my laptop. I can't type. But feel free to put my email inside the chat room. That's fine. For me, I do my best, and the one thing that I do know is that my style is kind of like that tough love person, you know.
Yeah.
And when women start whining about their station in life or station on the motorcycle world. I'm really not a coddling person. I'm more of like a boot in the ass kind of person. Like, oh, shut up, you know? You know? And if you don't like it, do something about it.
We have some strong women like Nora elsewhere listening to these programs over here. And we've also got people in Canada. We got people. There's so many different states. And I don't want these women to feel like they're isolated. I believe at times Fran thinks she's like the Lone Ranger. Because Fran's down in San Diego, and it's a big city. She doesn't get as much support. She doesn't get as much. You're up there in L.A. somewhere, I guess, in there. And I don't know how much of a group you have of women getting involved, but maybe through the Internet and all that, maybe you guys can start something going, because truly it's untapped source of energy and voting and everything in there. Cause,
I wonder how receptive NCOM would be of having a – I don't know how – I've never been to NCOM. I plan on going next year. I will be there. But I'm wondering how receptive they would be to maybe a breakout group or whatever in, you know, addressing like females.
Anything that holds us back is no good. I don't need to hear about the good old boys club or anything. Anything that holds us back is no good.
Right.
And actually that NCOM, I don't know, they 1 year they gave a Silver Spoke Award to Malcolm Forbes for the most positive PR for the whole year and blah, blah, blah. And the following year, they contact this guy in San Diego, Bill Kennedy. I came out and spoke in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So anybody that can vote Malcolm Forbes 1 year and Bill Kennedy the next, I'm not too sure about that organization. That guy's so far more than I've ever done, but I'm sure I gave it a good speech anyway. What the hell? Anyway, getting back to that, the idea is not having, again, we need leaders. I don't care for the political organizations we have, and I know people are saying, why do you keep saying that? Because it irritates me. It seems that the political organizations can't come together. We need to find natural leaders that we can come together, we can trust. And again, I need to speak to somebody who's going to speak on behalf of, again, Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki. I don't need to hear just long-haired beard guys, tattoos, guys like us running down the road in Harley-Davidsons. That's only one view. I need to hear as many views as I can get. Education will get us a long way, boys and girls. When I learned how to fight the police from within the system, Philip and I became a lot more productive.
Mm-hmm.
When I learned how to put my bike runs at Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, we have 500-600 people at our show, at our shop, because I learned how to work within the system.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice we can get, and for us to exclude, I'm going to say our motorcycle sisters, but that don't sound right, the women who ride their own motorcycles, I feel better saying that for some reason. Girls, step up to the plate.
Yep.
The world's out there. Nora, Fran, SWAT. I bet you guys are just the tip of the iceberg. Tiger Lily, Arizona. My God,
right.
I could probably go on and on and on. I'm hoping that, you know, I don't know. Anybody else want to comment on that?
I have a question for, well, Bill, Phil, and SWAT, because you guys were all at the L.A. show. What type of media coverage did you guys get? Did you get anybody writing a nice article or somebody talking to somebody to get it on a local TV channel? So, you know, word of what you guys have accomplished really pushes forward that, you know, people are going to make statements. They're going to take action in a positive and manneristic type of way. Did anybody come out and interview anybody? That's what I'm curious about.
What? That's back
because,
on you again.
Well, you know, because the thing is realistically, I'm sitting here on the East Coast, okay? And the only reason why I really know a lot about, you know, this particular show is because I tune into this show and I talk with people and listen to what they have to say. But, you know, I'm looking at it like on a larger scale to kind of like, you know, push it clear across the United States so people know that, you know, hey, you do have rights and there are things you can do in an orderly fashion that doesn't draw a lot of negative attention to yourself, you know. So I'm curious about that factor.
Okay, well, we have footage. We have our own video footage. We also have others I don't know how much to say or how much not to say, because there's some people that are involved in the community that I don't want to throw them under the bus, but when they come out with what they come out with, I don't know how they're you know how like photographers and news people, they're not supposed to necessarily go against these shows, because other shows are going to be like, well, we don't want them there then. You know what I mean? I know for a fact that one person was there for us in several ways. I don't know how much he wants to be mentioned, you know, out on Front Street, but he has a plan with the footage that he took and the footage that we took. You know, he wants, you know, for national distribution.
Right. He was actually there filming that for his movie. And then I talked to the guy from Quick Throttle, and I also talked to the guy from Thunder Press. They went in to get statements from Jim.
Okay.
And then, like Fran says, just remember, bad press is just as good, because we were out there.
Right, but I'm just kind of gearing towards, you know, the biker community as a whole always seems to get the, excuse my French, shit end of the stick, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And being this, you know, was making a statement, you know, because people do have rights. And it was done in an orderly fashion where, you know, no harm came to anybody. Everything, you know, it went off very well. It sets a precedence, you know, for future things that come up. But, you know, it's like people all over the United States and, you know, maybe all over the world need to see this stuff and see that it can be accomplished, that when working together, you get things done. And that's why I was curious as to, you know, how exactly the media tied in, et cetera.
But I do know that footage was taken and that some of it's going to be used for national distribution. And there, you know, there was press there. Other people came, you know, through. Again, I was running around in a circle, so I think Phil was more, you know, involved with that. Because you also know the people better, right, Phil?
Yeah, that's. I challenged one guy that took the video to come out there.
Let me jump something. This is Bill speaking again. Swat, I want to thank you for kind of slowing me down a little bit, because you mentioned about not wanting to throw anybody under the bus. Magazines require money to run them. They get the money from the advertisement. If they start bad-mouthing motorcycle shops, they're not going to advertise. So I want to thank you for slowing me down a little bit, because these guys have jobs and everything like that. So the next month or so should be very interesting to see which stand these magazines are going to take, if any.
Yeah, because he said he was going to have Easy Rider, he was going to have Iron Horse, he was going to have all these magazines. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any of those guys. I saw Quick Throttle, Thunder Press, and the other guy from New York Rider Magazine.
Well, I'll wait till the magazines come out before I comment on their concepts. And it'll be interesting to know how they portray the light of those people that stood up, how they portray the event, and then any comments they may make on it. But again, magazines must have advertisement to survive. Advertisements, money, it's reality. It's kind of a, you know, dog-eat-dog and all that. But I'll hold off for a month. And again, I want to thank you, Swart, for kind of slowing me down again. Sometimes Bill Kennedy doesn't always...
See that, look, the people that couldn't speak up loudly sure did help on the sly. I had one person, I can't mention his name, we had troubles with video. We were unsure of whether we would have video recorders. And I made one phone call to him, and I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, I don't know what to do. And he goes, I got a little one, you can borrow it. And so he helped, you know, he had to go into the show, but, you know, as he walked by me, he handed me a really nice little Sony, you know, mini DV camera and said, there you go, I'll get it later.
You know, when you see him again, you should thank him on behalf of all of us in there, because, you know, he didn't have to do something like that. That's kind of a class act, whoever that is. Someday when you see me in person, mention to me down the future who that is, because I think that's a class act. He didn't have to do that. That's pretty good.
No, he didn't. And I didn't even have a mini DV tape, and he brought me one. So I was like, wow. You know, he was like really like 100% just you know, was there for us. And I respect that he has a living to make and he had to do what he had to do. But he, you know, his silent little protest of his own, and I thought that was just awesome. I was like, wow, okay.
Again, I'm hoping when the time's right that that man's, you know, does come out and all that, but not right now because, again, it's too iffy. Let's let the magazines come out. Let's let everybody get their own opinion. But
yeah,
see him again, and I'm sure you will. Tell him, you know, on behalf of the Phil and Bill show, on behalf of OSP, we appreciate what he did. We probably know exactly who it was, but I'm not going to ask for his name or anything.
Yeah.
So, I had a question about Fran. Fran's still with us?
Yeah, Fran's not on the phone, though.
Oh, okay. She's clicking the button.
So she might call.
She's good. Okay.
But, no, there was a lady taking pictures, and she was from inside. She came out with a guy, and they took pictures of the bikes. They walked out.
Okay.
And Art said that she wasn't that pretty, but she had nice boobs, though.
What?
Wow.
Come on.
Silent Art is never so silent when it comes to the body proportions of a beautiful woman.
You didn't hear what I said.
Okay, try that again.
Art said that she was not that pretty. I said, but she had nice boobs, though.
Oh,
and
you.
She was wearing underwear, Art said.
Correct.
Oh. See, it's hard for me to keep this show going when I got a pervert.
Well, of course, I had to say, oh, my God, what a guy. All they notice is underwear, butt, boobs, and not too much of the face.
Hey, see, I was looking at her. Looking at her face, so, you know.
Yeah, but you were looking at her boobs.
And?
Really? He was breastfed as a child, that's what.
And?
He breastfed.
Yes, and he still can't get off the nipple, I'm sure.
The show goes in direction.
Maybe
we try
that, maybe that will put
direction.
A smile on his face. Maybe if he went back to being boob fed, he would smile.
He had to go there.
I'm sorry. It was a joke.
No. No, please. Anytime you can interrupt Philip, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And for God's sake, anytime I get on one of my tirades, I start talking about the governor or anything, one of you ladies, please, just cut me off.
Well, friends,
I'm actually because thank you.
Yeah. I agree with Nora. I agree with Nora on the thanking part because to hear you speak and you speak with such clarity and such the right word's not coming to mind, but I mean when you talk, you have a way of drawing people in to really listen to what you have to say because you have passion about the things that you believe in, and you know that's a darn good quality to have. You talk about a leader, you know. I think you should be the first one to tackle that because, like I said, you're wonderful to sit and listen to. And I personally love the way you don't go to one side or the other. You kind of just keep down the middle, you know, even when you refer to the man who runs this country, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you still, you know, say the fact that, you know, we should respect this man because he is running the country. So, you know, I'm sorry, but I love listening to you speak.
Thank you.
Are you trying to give him a swelled head?
No, that's your
job,
Phil.
No, we're being honest.
We just...
Bill needs us.
I get upset when Bill's not here. You know, I enjoy listening to Bill. I could listen to Bill all night long.
It's the Boston accent.
That's it. You know, we've got a common ground.
Hey, wait a minute now. So when it gets dark and it's time for bed, is it a glass of wine, a doobie, and Bill?
Say that again. I just want to make sure I heard that right.
Bed. When it's time for bed, is it a glass of wine, a doobie, and Bill?
I think. Oh, God. No. I mean, glass of wine, maybe on a Friday. You know, you're really putting me on the hot seat here. I'm going to tell you
oh,
my
God.
Routine.
You're like on a hot plate today. He needs a spanking.
Bill,
Is it time for Dr. Love to come on the air tonight?
No.
Yes,
Dr. Love wants who you are to sit back in that chair, sip that wine softly. Let's just slowly unbutton that top button of that blouse. Button at a time. Slowly enjoy that wine. Sit back in the chair because Dr. Love wants to hear what you have to say. Dr. Love is here for you and you alone.
Now you're hitting on her.
Dr. Love.
You know what it is, Phil? Bill smiles. That's got to be.
Oh.
You know, all he does.
I haven't
just
seen it yet.
That's okay, Nora. I'm like, you know, just trying to. But that's going to be what it is. Bill smiles and he talks with such clarity. You know, that's like hook, line, and sinker for any female.
Oh, he's a wonderful person to listen to. I mean, the voice, when he goes into his Dr. Love voice, that's just a melter right there.
Oh, this fucking guy's turning red next to me.
Yeah.
Hello, Fred.
Well, good evening to you too, darling.
Save me from this abuse, please.
What abuse? You're not getting abused.
Not yet, anyway.
No, I think he wants to. That's the point.
I know. I think he still thought on the boobs of that woman.
I'm just not going to feed into that one.
Well, Fran's known me for a very long time.
As far as that event goes, first off, please understand that we did have some concerns because we felt that there wasn't possibly enough turnout on our side to make a difference. And you know something? What made the difference, it wasn't necessarily numbers. People were looking to see what patches, and of course some of us didn't wear colors at all. And you know, that's what really made the difference was the representation. Because oftentimes people forget if there is one of each organization or one of each group that stands for many in that group. Because generally a person from, and I'm not going to mention groups, but if there's one person from whatever group it is, may represent 100 or 200 bikers or more.
Right.
And I think when the true, I don't know how SWAT knew that I'm a kind of a rights kind of person. Yeah, I don't like violation of my rights, and so the sign was very appropriate. But when the bikers that were coming in saw what the issue was, it wasn't a mamsy-pamsy, oh, we don't want to do this. When they realized what the true issue was, they didn't really have a problem of, oh, you know what, okay, let's turn around and leave. There were people I felt bad for that had pre-bought tickets.
They wouldn't give
them
a refund.
And for those who had the pre-bought tickets, they did go in. Not for very long, but they did.
The only reason they went in is because they wouldn't give them a fucking refund.
Well, you knew that.
Of course.
And this was the other thing that I felt was really bad is that they would take your money, and once you got past the gate, then they would kick you out. But they're
right.
Not going to give you the money back. And it's like, hey, yo, if you're not, why are you taking my money? If at that point, they deserve to get shot. No, I mean, punched. No, that's civil disobedience.
You guys to mention something?
Pardon?
We left at 2 o'clock. My guy on the inside could not confirm, but he could swear, because he didn't see it happening, he just said he did not think that anyone, that they had stopped charging. Now, I don't know if that's true.
At one point, they did drop it from 25 to 20. They had, before we left, it was already dropped to 20.
Okay.
And so after we left.
In.
Pardon?
He said he just walked in and nobody even looked at him funny or asked him for money or anything. And when when Art and I went to go use the restroom, we're like, can we use the back? Because I went inside. I'm like, where's the restroom? And they just said, go on in. They let us both
protesters right in the door without charging us.
Okay, so there were a number of, like I said, issues. And at that point, when the vendors are already, and they were already packing up before we left, there was a person that I had spoken to that came with her family to go see if, I forget what, Harbor Freight?
Uh-huh.
Harbor Freight showed up, and the whole family was going to go in. She was scouting to see if they wanted to participate in it the following year. And I said, you know what? I tell you what, hon, if you're going to go in and scout it, at least have your family go have a cup of coffee. You go scout it and then join them later. At least you got $50 for lunch. And that's exactly what she had done. Now, there had been a Christian biker group that gave her a card and said, call us. We'll set you up with a booth. So she may not have gotten, well, when she came out, she was thoroughly disgusted. But other than that, she may not have decided to do them next year, but you know what? She's got a booking anyhow. And so we still take care of our people.
You know, Fred, I want people to understand that, luckily for many people, they only have to hear me once a week. Fran, you've heard me speak in small groups, large groups. You've heard me speak for a long time. I want everybody to understand why I speak in front of large groups. When I stand up on stage, I look to the right rear quadrant and I pick a face out. I look to the left front quadrant and I pick a face out. I go to the right front quadrant, I pick a face. I go to the left rear quadrant. I look for four people in the four different areas. So when I speak, I'm going over the whole audience. I always look for Fran in one of those quadrants. Nice enough to pretend she's interested in what I'm saying, but I've always wanted to say thank you for that, Fran.
I was waiting to see if you can catch her taking her shirt off. Don't lie. Don't lie.
I was up on the stairs on top of the Mount Soledad Monument when she took her shirt off and almost fell down the stairs because I was in between steps. For that. Those steps were very steep, though. We're not talking about steps. We're talking steps. And I was in between steps when she went, bah, surprise. Anyway.
So I'm going
to say again, people only have to pull me once a week. Fran's listened to me for decades? Fran, 20, 30?
Yeah, something like that.
Teachers, have
but
you sat there and gone?
One of the things that I've appreciated most is even in yourself, the changes that you have decided to make with some of the groups that you even feel uncomfortable with, which you know what? That is a huge step. Two, I also appreciate the fact that you support our military. When I say support, I'm not talking about the ones that are necessarily overseas or the ones that are still up and riding. I'm talking about the ones that are in a wheelchair. I'm talking about when you say, you know, when you're thinking of our military, think about our women. We've got just almost as many women in a wheelchair now from coming back from war as we do men. And for that, I take my hat off to you. Because
thank you.
I've been
the women, but I don't think the women are veterans. There are daughters right next to our sons coming back. And if I can quickly, a woman seeing a man walking down the street missing an arm or a leg, a woman seeing a man in uniform with his face distorted, a woman can look into his heart, a woman can look into his mind and say, there's a man. There's a man walking up the street. Let me flip the script. We men are so goddamn shallow. Unless you look like Barbie doll, we don't want to take you out. Oh,
right.
I don't have a leg. Who's going to take me dancing? I have been fighting this for several years, as Fran knows, the fact that we need to re-educate everybody on what is beautiful. Any woman that sacrificed anything in this country, that woman's beautiful to me.
I have to kind of laugh a little. And, I mean, as you know, John is dead. First off, I'm not exactly your most beautiful woman, okay? Let's get over that part. Two, there's not too many men out there that will stand beside a slightly stubborn, I guess I might say, woman. Not only that, there's not too many men out there that has a set of balls enough to learn to ride a motorcycle because their wife rides. And John learned to ride a motorcycle at the age of 52. So when people out there say, oh, I don't know if I can do that, how do you know if you can do anything unless you get off your ass and go try it? And technically, John was a better motorcycle rider than I was.
John was the best research person I ever met in my life. I am so freaking lazy. I used to call him up, John, I'm trying to find his information. I'll get it for you, Bill, no problem. I became so dependent. Phil and I became so dependent upon John because he could do in minutes what took us forever. This was something I will always say about your husband, John. Plus, I can say he's my friend. I appreciate being that.
Well, I know him because I would bring home articles. And like you said, he would take what I told him. He would do some research, and he would take that. He would write it. He would read it to me. We would tweak it, and then he put it out. And, you know, that's tough. Mm-hmm. However, like I told you a couple months ago, you know, find a person to replace him. No, we do need people to step up to the plate and take a piece, whether it's someone who likes to do the research and they need to step up to the plate and say, you know what, I like doing research on law. Good. Give us your number so we can say, this is what we need research done at the moment. We need someone to step up the plate and say, you know, I'm really good as a writer, with some humor, I hope. You know what? Good. Let's give that person information to write what we need written. We need, not necessarily professionals. People say, well, I'm not a professional. Well, neither was John. Do you know that John only had a damn GED?
And that's no, I didn't know that. He carried himself always articulate.
Yeah. He actually, all he had was a GED. Second, do you know that he's the only person in Queens, New York, that actually taught at a university with a GED? When that college found out that he had a GED, and they were coming and hawing, and says, well, you know what? It's okay by us, but you're not going to find anyone who has the knowledge on the CDL, as my husband and I did. And that was when they said, you know what? He may only have a CDL, but we hired him to teach at a college without any fancy degree because of his knowledge on the subject.
Fran, I was talking about something, and I described you as the Lone Ranger in San Diego, because you don't accept men or women, you expect motorcycle riders. Have you felt any type of an upsurge in women getting involved? We have Nora. This is my first time I'm meeting SWAT. There are people out there, again, Tiger Lily. But let's just talk about San Diego. Do you feel any upsurge in women getting involved, or is it still just kind of they're willing to let the men do all the noise?
I think what's happening is that, well, let me back up to this first, okay? If there's a woman out there that is shy, oh my, all I can tell her is, look, learn to ride a bike and ride it at least three times a week. At the end of the year, it won't be, oh my, it will become, get the fuck out of my way. And there's an attitude, right, SWAT? I mean, that's, you've seen it. And what happened is that women are so used to playing the role of, oh, help me, to, I can, you know what? I don't have to ask you for help. I can do this myself. So what happens is there's becoming more and more assertive women in a predominantly male group. And so now what's actually happening as well is you're starting to see more and more women groups popping up. And I'm not saying lesbian or anything like that, but you have more and more women groups stepping up to the plate and deciding what their role is in the whole, the spectrum.
Brian, can I ask you a direct question? I'd like to ask you your on this, and I'd like to ask SWAT too. I have a problem with Women Harley Riders, the organization. There are Hog Riders, that's Harley-Davidson owners group, right? But the women of the Harley They have their own group.
Yeah.
And when I was at the Harley group a while ago, I said, every one of you women should take your patch off, throw it in the ground. You are hog riders. Why are you women Harley riders? I see a problem with that. They said, oh, we're there to educate the women. No. I'm not talking separate but equal. You're a hog rider or you're not. You can't be a hog rider and a woman hog rider. You want to comment on that, please?
Okay. that's putting me in a rock hard place.
It is.
Yeah, I know it is. Well, first off, let me back up by saying this. The affiliation of the group, whether it's male or female, doesn't matter. Male or female, the only thing that they see as a group is they belong to that group and not to the motorcycle community. There will be a few that are in that hog group that are also in other affiliated groups, but not that many. As far as the women go, you have a pepper smidge of those individuals who will stand on their own. Okay? And I know several women.
Is it okay, separate but equal? That is the question. I'm like, yes or no?
They're not equal.
Okay.
They're far
from. Well, that's our second SWAT. Are you still with us? I was talking about the ladies of the Harley-Davidson, and we have the Harley-Davidson owners group. Each authorized dealership has two separate entities. I say if you're a Harley owner, you're a Harley owner. I do not understand why you got to be a woman of the Harley. I think there is no reason to have separate but equal. You're a Harley rider, if you belong to that organization, or a Yamaha rider, whatever it is, I see no reason to have separate women's organizations. I think it does a disservice. Can you address that, please?
I have a different take on it. I mean, I agree of the quality situation, but when it comes to group dynamics, I think that, especially in a, I don't want to say, this is not necessarily a feminine thing that we do, and I'm trying to approach this correctly. I think the women should
be
with women.
Yeah, you're doing the dance.
I think women should be with women and men should be with men. I think there should be one Harley owner group with a female division and a male division. I don't think there should be two groups. I think there should be three or two groups under one umbrella because the women handle things way differently than men. We're talk about stuff. Men don't talk. They just, whatever, you guys get over it. And women don't get over it. We hold on to it, you know.
Whoa.
And so I think the dynamic is different. I think that I don't, for me personally, I was in a co-ed club. I watched the dynamic. I wore a patch before. I was the first female that came in into an all-male club, okay? And now I have a different, I'm a little bit more of a tomboyish type person, but I've watched females, and this is no slight on women, because we handle things differently, I have watched females and their dynamic really do damage to an all-male club. Not the female's fault. It should have been a separate group, a chapter of their own.
Okay. I appreciate the fact you are a bit uncomfortable and you took the time to answer it. I never want you to agree with me. I never want to put you on the spot. What I'm just interested in, of course, is just different ways of looking at, you know, the picture, that's all. Nora, can I get you to address that question, too? Do you feel that Harley owner groups are okay? Do we have separate women Harley owners groups?
Well,
okay, Nora says,
so
oh, great, in the spot,
what?
Too. I said, Nora's saying, oh, great, Bill's going to put me in the spot. No, I'm just curious how you feel about that.
No, in regards to women riders, how do I feel about that? I see
no,
them all the time.
In Harley-Davidson world, we have the Harley-Davidson owners group, hog riders.
Right. Okay.
And then we have the women of the Harley, women of the wind, wherever the Harley women are. My opinion is if you want a Harley-Davidson, it shouldn't matter if you're a man or woman. And yet the Harley-Davidson...
No, it shouldn't matter because there's women riders that enjoy it, riding just like men do. So there shouldn't be any problem, or they shouldn't be looked at, you know, as a powder puff, so to say. And I'm not using that to be rude, you know.
Nope.
Like I said, I see women riders all the time. I think it's a fantastic thing. You know, like I said, and it's not so much of, well, guess what, look at me, I can ride a Harley. or I can ride a crotch rocket or whatever their preferable choice is, okay, they shouldn't be put down because of what they ride. Who cares? They're riding.
I don't think it's a put down for what they ride. It's the segregation from
right.
within a group. And that is where the objection is coming in. First, it's kind of like, and I'm going to use the deaf world as an example. First, we're deaf. We are one family. We may not necessarily like some of the individuals that are deaf. They didn't have a choice. They were born deaf. But we all come under the same umbrella. Then the second part to that is this. We can disagree. We can not necessarily associate with you. We can do whatever we want from within the group. But we're first within the group and then whatever else afterwards. But there's no women. There's no men. We are all one.
Good point.
And this is the problem that I'm seeing with some of the groups. Now, yes, we do have all male groups. We have all female groups. You know what? That's how it was established. That's how it's been for decades. And it will continue being that way. However,
people are afraid of change.
The SWAT brought something up that I really want to say, because when I do speak to the women's club, I try not to get a subject too often. I've seen women join the Women's Harley Club, and I've seen them advance in tremendous leaps and bounds because they are getting good support from other women. And I think that's a wonderful idea. So there's good and bad to both sides. I'm just looking as a purist. I don't see why we have to separate women. But I have seen the women that have joined the Women Harleys Club, and I've seen them, again, their abilities to perform, handle the motorcycle, experience, as SWAT said, sharing ideas and concepts. There is definitely good to both sides. I just want to stir the pot and cause some trouble tonight.
I don't think that you actually stirred trouble so much as do we really want to become a whole as one, or do we want to become segregated from within? And first off, you're right. Male, female, hey, you know what? You do as you wish. However, you do it under one umbrella. If you want to do a mechanics night and it's all women, hey, it's fine. How many men do you know want to go to a bridal party? I know.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. And I don't want to go to no baby showers either. I got news for you. I invited two this past week. I never took a baby shower in my life.
Wow. My daughter's baby shower coming up is Jack and Jill, and it's going to be quite the shindig.
See, Jack and Jill
are
completely different to me.
I might
not want to share this with you.
In September.
I don't want you to say this person's name at all. For the rest of our ladies tonight and for all the people listening to us overall, we have in San Diego a motorcycle club which has a female president, and they're all male. I have never come across this in my life. I know the person, I know the lady for many, 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 many years. I'm not going to say the club and all that because people say, blah, blah. Point is, she handles her own shit. She listens to everybody, and she makes the right decisions for the club. I'm talking about in San Diego, a woman president of a bike club, everybody else is men. And nobody has complained at all because she's got a good, steady head. I know you're saying, oh, Bill's making it up. I'm not.
No.
I don't want to give the name out or anything because she's not about I'm a woman and all that. She's about I'm doing the best job I can. But I want you to know, I guarantee you, Fran, if I see you maybe next Saturday, our friend's going to be down there, by the way, at that run I'm doing down San Diego. So introduce you to her if not. But the rest of you ladies out there, I guarantee you, here's a woman that stepped up. And she says, don't look at me as a woman. Don't look at me as a man. I'm the one who's going to do the best damn job. And she has, boys and girls. We have a caller right now that's been trying to get in and say a few words. I apologize if everybody can hang on a second. And maybe someday I'll get that friend of mine on the air. Caller 970. Are you out there? Please tell us who you are and where you're from, please.
I am. This is Ryan with Kara Productions. How are you guys doing?
How you doing, stranger? Good to hear your voice today.
Doing good.
What do you want to talk about, Brother Ryan?
Oh, I just wanted to give a holler. I haven't called in a while and kind of see what everybody's doing. It's been crazy out here in Colorado, so figured I'd call.
Ryan, can you tell us a little bit why it's crazy in Colorado? We have some new people on the air that may be kind of interested in what you're doing, because you're a strange fellow.
Oh, I'm totally strange. You got no idea. that's why you're right. You know, the biggest thing going right now is the coward that was out shooting everybody up in Arvada.
Yeah.
It's pretty hot. And, you know, of course, everybody's all up in arms, got to ban guns, got to, you know, keep these crazy people off the street by getting rid of the guns, which is a crock. So there's another thing that happened out here where a bunch of people got poisoned by eating turkey. So let's ban turkeys, you know. Shit happens. Get the right people the guns. Handle your business. If that coward shows up, unarmed people, in a movie theater, in the dark, full body armor, and just starts blasting, what a piece of shit. So, you know, that's...
Well, you know, hold on a second. This is a fact. There are 65 million gun owners in the USA. On average, there are 90 guns per 100 people. That makes 280,432,725 legal guns in the United States. In 2011, 8,775 people were killed in gun-related crimes. That includes people who were shot legally while committing a crime. In 2011, motor vehicle deaths were 32,885. Reject gun control? It's a fucking lie, Bill.
Yeah, I want to point out that although I am very calm and relaxing, if anybody is to attack my family, if anybody is to injure my family, I swear to you, the last place you want to be is in prison.
Yep.
You should make a mental note to end your life before you're arrested. You do not want to be out on the street, and believe it or not, you do not even want to think about being in the prison. But that's another
story. Well, that's going around right now, and they're having to put him in solitary because everybody in prison is threatening to kill him. You got a bunch of lifers in there that don't give a shit.
That's right.
And, you know, they want to make sure that this guy gets a trial on the law side of it, and the people inside don't care. And, you know, honestly, I'd like to see, I don't know, I can get kind of twisted when it comes to this, but I kind of go back to the line of thinking of let the punishment fit the crime.
There you go.
And, you know, if you're a child molester, tell you what, we're going to throw you in with all the makeup-wearing men in prison and let them have their way with you. And if you've shot up a bunch of people, you know what, let's torture the hell out of you and give you a nice slow death. Of course, that sends me straight to hell, but son of a bitch has it coming. And I don't think he should get the death penalty, and I doubt that'll be the case. The last time that happened in Colorado, I think, was 1977. But I think he needs to be in with general population, and it needs to be spread that he stays alive, but he gets the ever-loving shit kicked out of him every day. Put his ass in the... in the hospital, in prison, as soon as he gets healed up, put him back in it.
There we go.
Make that last a while, because it's total bullshit. You know,
I like that, a recurring cycle.
Innocent people, yeah.
Go ahead.
The sentence.
Yes.
And there was a motorcyclist who was run over by a drunk that didn't have a license. He was tried by a judge who was also a motorcycle rider. The judge informed this person who he was going to preside over, informed him that he was a motorcycle rider. The person said, oh, not a problem. What was interesting, because of our presentation of being there every time we went to court, the fact that... he was going to go to jail. He actually ended up with more jail time than what his crime normally would have gotten. However, the 12 years that he was going to spend in prison, it was good to see him spend the 12 years, but I also knew that the day before he was to get out, or if he did get out, that was going to be the last day anyhow. mm-hmm. because they were going to take care of it inside. But they wanted him to live that time among them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in complete
and they were
gonna
make,
every day.
They were going to make sure that he remembered what it was. And it's not a question of befriending someone that's going to protect you, because that happens as well, but not in this case. Because they're
right.
not going to take on that many groups that would be there. So
Brian.
I have no pity. Go for it.
Yeah.
Brian, tell us about what you got in Colorado. What's going up? What are you doing? What are you trying to do to make a dollar? What are you trying to do to spread the world of happiness? Talk to us.
I'm trying to get my photography going. I've
okay.
already got quite a few models I'm working with. I've got our website's coming up. It's taking me forever, but I'm getting there. I'm not a computer guy, so it's a pain in the ass for me to get all that going. But krproductionscolorado.com, that's what we have going so far. And anybody that's helped along the way, we're linking to their website, calling them a sponsor, a buddy, whatever you want to. But anybody that's helped me get anywhere with my photography, I'm making a part of that website.
Good
and,
We ain't getting paid, Bill.
You know, hey, Ryan, if you're having problems with computer skills, I'm gonna make a great suggestion. If you got a nephew or a niece that's like 20, 21, 22, 23, they will show
mm-hmm.
you the complete ropes around anything worth. With networking, and that's a fact, because when I first jumped on the computer highway, I don't know, 10 years back, believe it or not, it was my daughter who showed me the ropes, because they're learning all these skills in grade school. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, if you really want to get computer savvy, to hook up with a person in their 20s, that could be a family member, a friend, whatever, and I guarantee...
Mm-hmm.
they will open up a whole new world for you. And probably
Ryan,
really
let me ask you, what is your photography or your concept different? What is it you're doing that makes the whole thing a little different?
Well, for starters, I'm trying to help the people that are just getting started. And I feel that you can't do anything unless you've got a good network that supports you and shares common goals. So what I've done is developed a network of, I've got about 20 photographers and right at 60 different models that I work with. And basically, we're all there to help each other out. If there's a new model coming into the industry, you know, we sit down with her, we talk to her about the do's and don'ts, primarily keep your damn clothes on, don't get naked the first month you're modeling. Basically, get them started and where they can keep their integrity. And we do it in a manner where all of us are helping them out. So not only does this model have an incredible portfolio, because somebody that first looks at it sees that she's shot with, you know, 15 to 20 photographers, but she's getting that experience so that when she goes on to bigger and better things, she's got those 15 and 20 different perspectives that have helped her to get where she's at. But we
well, how many people are
out.
You shooting at one time? Do you have any type of, tell us about the program, the format.
Okay, basically what happens is, let's say I have an event going on this Saturday. I've got 20 photographers and 60 models. I try to keep a 3-to-1 ratio between the model and the photographer. Every photographer that shows up, in the order that they show up, get a station number. That station number could be a 65 Shelby, could be a kick-ass chopper. There's no telling. That photographer starts at that location, no questions asked. If you want to get a good spot, you get there early. As the models show up, the first number of models is equal that of the photographers. So if we have 20 photographers, the first 20 models are A set, second 20 or B set, third set or C set. Same thing, they get a number for their first location. But the ones that are in the A series go straight to a photographer and they shoot for 20 minutes. When they get done with their 20 minutes, the B set rolls into their spot. And A set goes to hair and makeup. After 20 minutes, B rolls to hair and makeup, and C comes in. So basically, every 20 minutes, the models are rotating. After they've done their shoot and they've gone and done hair and makeup, when they come back out, they go one station to the right of where they were originally. So the models are rotating clockwise to a different location every hour, and the photographers rotate counterclockwise every hour one station. So by the end of the day, no photographer has the same shot as any other photographer, and for the most part, you're never going to get the same model on the same prop. So everybody has a unique shot that is just for them. That, you know, a lot of these photo shoots, you show up and you've got 10 photographers and 6 models, and it's like a bunch of wolves hanging around a bloody sheep. They're all just sitting there taking the same damn picture, and that really doesn't benefit anybody.
Ryan, so like, money's kind of tight now. It's kind of expensive. How do you work around this? How can somebody come in and tell us about what you're doing?
Well, without giving away all my secrets, everybody that shows up pays.
Okay.
So if you're going to show up, like this, say, for instance, the last one I did, I charged $15 a person.
Well, that's fair.
And I got sponsors to step up and donate the vehicles, the bikes, and then they got all the advertising from that. So in exchange, over the course of a day, they got 24 models and 8 photographers to shoot their merchandise that they could use for advertising for their business, no time frame. But they also paid $15 because I built programs. Everybody got one with everybody else's contact information. And then I fed everybody. We had hamburgers and hot dogs, all you could drink all day long, and it was a 2-day event. So you'd show up, you spend $30. The end of the 2-day event, you've shot with right at 20 photographers on however many props you could fit in. So it's extremely inexpensive, and it builds a good network of people that are out there to help each other out, and nobody's getting the shaft, so to speak.
Now, not everybody wants to go on to be a professional model, but this sounds to me like a real shot in the arm or making yourself just feel good, knowing you've been pampered and shot and blah, blah, blah. So even if you don't go on to be a professional model, I think that'd be a wonderful idea to have a portfolio and to have all that attention for 2 days and to be shown
exactly
how to have your makeup on correctly or something. Because now Philip has a makeup. He needs a professional person there.
Shit.
I could see that. But, yeah, we had everything from 14 years old to 44 years old, some of them that wanted to be models and some that just thought they looked good and wanted to be able to show their grandkids I did something. And then we had, of course, this is a couple months ago, we had Amanda Peterson, who's a lead actress from Can't Buy Me Love that disappeared in 95. She came out and did hair and makeup. She volunteered 2 days, came out and did hair and makeup for all the up-and-coming models, and kind of got them to kickstart into what she used to do as a career. So kind of made everybody's day when she showed up.
Listen, Ryan, any of the ladies want to jump in? Has any special questions to Ryan? I got a few more questions, but any ladies want to jump in on this? Ladies.
Hi, Ryan, it's Nora. You still need to come out to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, in the middle of the States. And then you got to go out to the East Coast and get Stacy.
You know, I would love to. Right now, we're trying to get it figured out where we can start putting some money aside to do a lot of this travel.
No, I know. I know. It takes
got,
money to do this.
Right. Oh, and it's, you know, definitely in the works. This is something that, of course, at KR Productions, it's costing my business. And we've got a lot of requests for all over the nation. They either want to shoot with her or they'd like me to come out and help run an event. But, you know, when we do them for so cheap, the money just isn't there. So we can be like everybody else and charge $400 and $500 for a weekend, but we're going to lose a lot of clientele and we're going to lose a lot of business and respect from people
you're
that are trying to get started.
A weekend at your house is what you're going to do.
Exactly. So... but, yeah, hopefully at some point it'd be nice to get that phone call where we've got people lining up to help sponsor us because they see that it's a good thing. But we've got to establish a track record and, you know, show that we're in it for the long haul before anybody wants to do that.
Hmm. We got Fran still out here. We got SWAT. Any questions, ladies, about what Ryan's doing or this different concept of what he's doing? I'll take that as maybe not. All right, then. Let me ask you this.
I mean, we all know what Ryan does. And, I mean, Ryan's on my page. I see the work he does. It's wonderful. The only thing is, you know, I mean, he's doing a great thing by putting people in together with him to do this, you know. And once they get going enough to save money and get moving and to go into different places, it'll make it bigger for him and better. You know,
exactly.
He does wonderful photography. I've seen it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
See, I'm not so much in love with this photography. God bless you, Philip. And the reason being is every time that I'm lucky enough to get in a movie, I'm always behind bars. I'm either the murderer,
I'm
the criminal.
No, I'm going to bust your balls.
I never get
into I'm going to bust your balls because you were invited to be in a movie Sunday.
I'm going to end up the same way.
Wait. The key word here is
yeah.
reality show.
You there?
Okay. It's like every time I go to court, somebody said they had to go to court recently. Every time I go to court, I stand up when I'm a juror, and they don't even ask me one question. I just got the look. It's just never going to happen. But I think for other people, it'd be interesting. I've accepted the fact that, I don't know, maybe people like Tom Cruise, maybe people like Brad Pitt, maybe it's a conspiracy to hold me back. Do you ever think about that, Philip?
Yeah, well, it's
your
story.
Could be. Brian saying Bill's delusional. Probably. What the hell?
Outside.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of staticky here and stuff with that.
I don't know. You guys keep coming in and out on me.
I know. Something's funky.
Yeah. I quit being on the computer. Because I couldn't, it was every 10 minutes I was getting bounced off. Every 10 minutes.
North Korea's done this. I'm blaming North Korea today.
Yeah, when's the last time you had your computer swept, friend?
How about yesterday?
And did they clean out your hard drive and everything?
Is this smut talk?
No.
I'm talking doing my own, you know, virus. I'm talking about doing a refresh. I'm talking about, I do that regularly.
Okay.
She does her own stuff now. Is she talking smut?
Because
she's not talking smut now. She does her own. Okay. All right. What do I know?
Because
I don't know computer talk. I'm just asking a question. All right. Go ahead.
I have a program that was given to me by someone, and it goes back 35 to the norm. It gets everything. That's why. Everything.
But,
that's first tonight. What? They got a beginning, but they got back in.
So you're saying Fran's not satisfied with her computer, but you'll be able to help her so she'll become fully satisfied. Is that what you're saying?
It's your story. You saw it anyway.
I'm just trying to find out about the computer. I don't understand computers, you know?
You keep trying to go different.
No. I just want to know about the computer. I just want
No.
I'm just curious about the computer.
Phil?
Yeah.
Yes?
Whatever the problem is tonight, it doesn't make any difference. Because even with my phone, you keep going in and out, and I'm losing you, and then you're there. I'm losing you, and I'm there. Whoever is cutting in is doing a really, really good job of hacking you up tonight.
It's North Korea. Goddamn red communist.
Well, you know, they might be hacking you, but they ain't hacking us because they ain't been able to get in there.
Yeah, well, they're hacking me.
He tried in the beginning, and I got him.
Yeah.
And the last one was a guest. He left right after I zapped him too.
And I take off too. We lost SWAT already. She took off.
Night.
Yeah. She said good night to everybody.
So Ryan, do you have
now
because some of the pictures that you and Stan sent me.
Huh?
I found out what it is. When you guys put your thing on the bottom,
he puts his thing on the bottom. What?
Yeah, your logo.
What?
Oh, okay.
Huh. Right.
Not his thing, Bill, but
I'm just trying to get it clear.
Logo.
I'm just trying to get the picture.
When you guys put your logo on there, for some reason they think it's copyright, so that's why they show that goofy picture. So if you send it to me without that on the pictures and a link with the story of the girl you're going to send me, we should have no problem. Because it was pissing me off because I was telling you guys come back and told me, well, I can't see him. But when I pulled up, I could see
him. Okay.
So if you guys send them to me without the logos on the bottom, we should have no problem. So now,
okay.
The girl that's here, this is her second week. So you got from now until Sunday afternoon to send me something. Either one of you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get you some of Lacey sent over. I sent some killer shots of her and a bunch of good links I think everybody'd like. I'll go in there and pull those logos off and get those sent over. That
Perfect.
Should go pretty quick.
Perfect.
So.
So what do you got coming up?
And then,
go ahead.
I wondered why they wouldn't show up a lot of the time, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
And then... You know, it's funny because the porno shots that got sent to me that I posted, those go up.
I didn't see no porno shots.
Oh, yeah, Bill. Yeah, bullshit you didn't
see. No, you hide these things. You know what
these things. Oh, my God.
That's right. We don't need to see that.
You can look at that after the show.
Never get to see it in.
Bullshit, you were just saying it 10 minutes
so
ago.
So how long has Ryan
sideways.
Been sending you porno shots?
No, Ryan doesn't send me porno
shots. Oh, excuse me. I thought that's what you just said.
No.
You just said Ryan sent you porno
no,
shots.
No, in fact, I didn't say he sent
all right.
me porno
All right,
shots.
Then I stand
I
corrected.
I porno shots that somebody else sent me.
All right, then I stand
now,
corrected.
Now, just like today, I was supposed to have... Brian, if I said, do you know who Ava Vincent is? Do you know who she is?
Of who?
Ava Vincent.
No.
That's what I said, too. I don't know what he's talking about.
She's the AVN video chick. She's won 10 awards in the last 2 years.
What does that mean, ADVN?
No, audio, video, adults.
Oh, okay.
Adult videos, Bill.
You really know this stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, all
right. And she was supposed to call in tonight, but she sent me a message that she had something going on, and she will call back next Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard of her, but...
And neither had I either. So.
Well, just Google it. Just Google it and hit the first one. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Never gets...
I'll do that.
That reminds me.
Yes.
You didn't make one comment on the photos that I put up for you.
We haven't got
there
yet.
I never seen any.
Bullshit.
Which
I showed the one's friend. The one's friend. I showed you when you got here. You said, "Show me the pictures from the protest."
Oh, excuse me, from the
pictures of the protest.
I thought Fran sent pictures of Fran. Excuse me. I'm thinking I didn't get to see that.
Yeah. Honey, you wouldn't want to see pictures of me because then you'd be yelling like the comic I had seen, put it back on, honey, put it back on, we've seen it.
No, the guy said, take it off, and then he said, put it back on.
Every woman is beautiful in their own right. We should appreciate every woman out there. Each woman brings a special uniqueness to the relationship.
No,
well, I did see the picture you sent, friend. They're very good.
They're very good. Excellent.
Well, thank you.
Nora was pissed that you didn't catch one of me smiling.
Yeah, I'm not pissed. I just want to know that man smells. I know he does.
Bert,
okay.
Can I tell you something? We might as well clear. Can I just clear this all up?
Okay.
He has false teeth. He's he's uncomfortable with the false teeth. Sometimes he forgets to put them in. So what he does is, we can't always understand him, but now you know, sometimes he forgets
Fred,
to put the
Fred,
false teeth in.
Fred, you see me at close-ups. Do I have false teeth?
I've seen you smile when you're on your bike and it rumbles.
Here we go.
It's that little extra
Fred, what would I do without
Fred?
Someday
I'm going to have false teeth. There's no real big
deal.
The
only one that hasn't made a comment yet is Ryan, but I know he's thinking real
Ryan
hard
Ryan doesn't
right
want
now
to get in this conversation.
I'm going to stay out of this one.
That's right.
I only wish I was out in Colorado so I could join you and do the shoot, but I had to work this time around.
No.
Or I would have driven my bike there.
Actually, Fran, I'm going to be down in San Diego on Saturday. Did you get the information I sent to you?
You said that you're, I have it still on my phone. Excuse me. You're going to be in Lemon Grove?
Yeah, rather than come all the way up
the
top and then turn around, flip around, come all the way back, I'll be down at that VFW hall giving a little on
stage. Oh, VFW. I thought it was AL. Okay, VFW.
Yeah,
VFW.
And we also have some special guests arriving Saturday morning at Bill's, but I'm bringing them with me.
I'm not gonna tell you who it is, but you all, everybody will be
what
happy.
Time,
huh?
What time? You, what time does it start up there?
Nine.
I'd say 9 to 10, 10:30, and then we're gonna meander out. We're gonna take everybody up to Mount Soledad, so the people who have never been there can appreciate a little bit of American history. Then meander on down, blah blah blah, a couple more polka stops, and then end up at the American Legion Hall, I guess, whatever it is. Whatever the address is. I've never been there. They said they got a good PA system. They can skip me up on the thing or something, so I'm happy, you know.
So you're going to go from your shop to Mount Soledad?
No, I'm going to send everybody down that hasn't been there, and Mount Soledad is one of the stops, but I'm going to, as the last one leaves, I'm going to just slip on right down to the last stop.
Yeah, and the ones I got to still find out if the people that are going with me have been there yet. If not, I will take them there.
We want them to appreciate what's beautiful.
And then I'm
going to
take them. And
then we'll
gonna,
be at the club. Say 12:30, 1
right,
o'clock maybe, you know.
Right.
I want everybody out of there by, you know, 3, so everybody gets home early and can appreciate spending time with their family.
Right.
Try to get them off the roads. But I want everybody to have a good time.
Yeah, and then Saturday, that we got that GVA run. Sunday, I got the hogwash up in Rosemead.
You wish tell them a little bit. Share that, yeah. Come
okay.
on, share that.
Well, the hogwash is, hang on. Okay, here we go.
Now, it's not just hogs, remember.
Philip may be in a movie.
Ooh. Yeah, see, they just said I wasn't movie material.
No,
and just I must be just too old, and my mustache is getting too brittle.
I know.
Well, what it is this is going to be the hogwash pilot filming, and if you guys listen to the last few shows, you'll know that it was Paul Renteria, the Espinosa clan, Martin Resendez, and Emilio's got a piece of this too. And what they're going to do is this guy Gilbert Escoval, who's a comedian, Bill, if you remember.
Yes.
Because he busted on him, too.
Yeah, I busted
him.
He's a comedian. He can take it. I threw it back at him. Yeah.
He busted on him, too, because he jumped on the back of another guy's bike to go look at a bike.
You bet I'm going to bust him doing that one, yeah.
So what happened was now this guy, they're going to create a show around this with the biker culture, and they're going to interview people on how you got to ride, why you ride, you know, all that stuff like that. And the only thing that they asked, everything else is open. The only thing that they asked is soft colors only.
And let me explain one of the reasons they want Philip. He is quite a colorful character. I will not be at the show. I've really not, like I said, I've not really done any shows. Well, not recently. But you know what? I think if we all cheer Philip on, this could be a star. He could be on his way. He could be in Hollywood up there putting his hands down the cement in front of the Chinese theater and all that. Grumman Chinese Theater, I think it's called.
Yeah, well, you know, Sons of Anarchy.
Next time you're here, you could be on that too.
Sons of Anarchy isn't done filming yet.
Yeah, well, Philip and I were talking to Emilio, who was the president of the Mayans Motorcycle Club, which is part of the Sons of Anarchy TV show, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and they were talking about... you know, maybe getting Philip on another show. And, this is just California talk. While they were talking to Philip, I was in another part of this large park, and another TV show was interviewing me about a program. So people ask me, why do you live in California? It's fantasy land. It's not reality. It's crazy.
It's like Brazil, Bill. It's like the land of fruits and nuts.
It's crazy. But
I can say this, though. When Emilio was on the show, and then Tuesday night when the other gentlemen were on the show with Phil and I,
yeah,
wonderful. They're just wonderful-hearted people. You know,
he was nice enough to be our Grand Marshal at the Bikers Against Diabetes, which, you know, every single year. He came down, and while he was there, he spent the whole day signing everybody's autograph that wanted, shaking hands, kissing babies.
Except for the time when I had to get involved so they could eat. Remember that? Every time we tried to put a piece of food in, he was poking.
Did you inappropriately touch him, or what do you mean?
No, inappropriately pushed people back so they could eat.
Phil was nice enough to give a short little break so that they could get some food down them. It was pretty chaotic up there. He came with a lot of the Mayans Motorcycle Club, and at the gate, they didn't have enough passes to get in, so they called me up, and
you know, Rusty's got him busting my balls now, because when I took the picture with both of them, you know the exact words that they said? Put the little guy in the middle.
Well, you should not... 10 tall people.
I understand.
I just want to point that out to you.
I understand.
There's some things you got to look and say.
I'm in the middle, too. When you were the Hooters, I put you in the middle. You had a smile on your face.
Did you get a picture of that?
Sure did. It was on my website for a while.
Oh my God.
He was in between two sets of really good racks.
I never believed in that. Both of us, when we're at Big.
I have to go. I do have to ask a really good question, though. On Saturday, would I do better with the individuals that are coming on Saturday if I came to the shop and did the shots of the individuals there at the shop and at the end, or just come to the shop?
Well, friend, I don't know how far down San Diego you are. It's not like you don't know the roads and all that. It might
don't
be
make
easier
no
you just
difference
like, to me. An hour or two at the final destination, schmooze a little bit, or if you feel like a little venturesome ride, you know. But, friend, you go to my shop, you know, L.A., you're always going through my neighborhood. So I guess kind of whatever you feel.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, no matter where I go, it's only a mile down the road.
It's the next mile down the road.
That's
around
right.
The next.
That's all it is.
That's right.
So it don't make no difference.
I know, honey. But I threw it back at you.
Okay, then you know what? Since it starts at 8 or 7, 9.
Honey,
I'll
nothing ever started at 7 o'clock in my shop, ever. Don't you ever say 7 o'clock in Bill Kennedy's shop, ever again in your life. Oh, my God.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
I almost choked on an ice cube. Good.
There are a few of us that are kind of early risers, like 4 o'clock in the morning, just so I could go to L.A.
Here's
so I
said, too
I
many years.
That
it's
I,
not going to happen.
I suppose I can be at your shop before 9 o'clock so I can start setting up and taking photos.
Okay.
So I'll see you then. And good night, everybody. Have a safe one.
Good night.
Nora, what time? Good night, dear. Nora, what time are you going to be at the shop on Saturday?
Good night.
I'm going to be there at 6 a.m. I want to be the first one there.
That's all right, Bill. She can.
Hey, the bell is the fire department. The place is on fire.
I'll make the coffee.
Hello.
You know,
hey, what's up?
No, I don't know what
breakfast.
The hell. You know, I guess I could leave the extension cord out my door.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you could plug it in, but I'm not going
to
be there.
Yeah, but then I can make breakfast, so I make mean omelets.
See, Philip goes to work at, I don't know, 4 o'clock or something really crazy. Philip's up every morning and he's waiting for me. It's not going to happen. I don't care. I don't even like Philip, to tell you the truth. I don't even care for the guy. I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's what you say now. You guys get along so well.
Yeah. Who does? Who gets along?
Yeah,
well.
I just want everybody to know we got a hot coming in. Just don't go anywhere. He's going to call in here in a second, and as soon as he calls in, we'll.
These people said you and I are doing well together. I don't know.
I think you guys get along well together. That's why the show is so perfect. Bill with his Dr.
The only
Bill
thing that makes
voice.
Wonderful guest. Philip and I are truly functional. Truly dysfunctional.
Yes. We agree to disagree.
And for our friends talking, we wouldn't make this at all.
But everybody's dysfunctional. That's what makes us all normal.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for this guy to call in right now. He's got a hot scoop.
All right.
He started.
We were at that bar last week, and all the spoof ran was there, and those people said, they're saying, "Well, Bill, you don't do all the talking." No, actually, when I'm in public, unless I'm on stage with the microphone, I'm just kind of kicking back.
Yeah.
And Philip is a social one at the bars, and when we go out, I'm laid back, I'm kicking back, people walk up, shake my hands, respect and all that. And until they say, "Bill, you're on," then I'm a firecracker. But when we get out in public, I'm telling you, it's a little strange. Philip is the social butterfly. Figure that one out.
Yes. But you know what? He's an important social butterfly because, you know, he doesn't have a problem addressing an issue at that second.
He has lots of problems.
Like when he has this issue of cell phones on an ear, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, here, you can't do it here in Chicago. If you get caught on the phone, it's a $500 fine. Okay, they are brutal here with it, and same in regards to texting. So if you want to do that, you got to pull off the road and or have your earpiece in. You can Bluetooth or have it where it comes through your radio. That's fine. Just no phone in hand. And you wouldn't believe how many stupid people are out there doing it. Amazing. So Phil, I'm, of course, from being out here, you know, he'd blend right in. No issue. In regards to taking somebody's cell phone and throwing it. Come on. You know, especially when there's kids in the car.
Philip, at times, is a man of few words, and yet when we're out in public, he has quite a few bit words. When it takes time for action, very limited in his vocabulary. He really condenses it abruptly.
Yeah, I don't know where he went.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do is...
I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too. What I'm going to do is...
What are we having? Oh, you know what I made? I made big pork chops and mashed potatoes and corn.
Do you have any applesauce? I love to have applesauce.
Yes, I do have applesauce, but I baked my pork chops and cream and mushroom soup. Oh, my God, it's wonderful.
Ryan.
Yes, sir.
Ryan, hey, what I want you to do, whatever the girl you send me for next week, and make sure there's a little biography and stuff, have her call in Tuesday with her.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Yep, I can sure try to do that. They're hard to get to do shit, but I'll give her hell.
Okay. And then I'm going to take us out with a little Wanted Dead or Alive, Bill, by Bon Jovi. And we'll talk to everybody next week.
Boys and girls,
wherever you are,
thanks for calling in tonight.
Good night, Bill.
Good night, all. Character, Ryan, don't quit what you're doing. It's an uphill battle, but you're going to help a lot of people. We thank you for that, too. Everybody, good night. We got Bon Jovi. What's he going to do? Make some noise. Sing along if you know the words.